evening. Life has gotten much more hectic recently and has to do with football, which is a great pleasure, but it's wearing me out. Not that I'm playing. I'm attending. Let's see, the essentials, huh? I have a sobriety date, and God willing, it's not going to change. It is September 18th, 1986. Whew. So, if I keep doing what you taught me to do, I will celebrate 32 years next week. Yeah. And I have a home group. It's the Cranesville Tuesday night. And the end of the month, we are having our dinner. We have a dinner the last meeting of the month, and we have a speaker out there. And this time, the speaker will be Jerome W. Am I allowed to say Wilson? I just did. Oh, well, too late. And I have a sponsor and a co-sponsor. I found it necessary recently to take a co-sponsor on. But anyhow, tonight I'm here to talk about the sixth and seventh steps. And thank God today I can talk about the sixth and seventh steps. I happen to know that God has been pushing me towards more and more work on the sixth and seventh steps since my early sobriety. I was invited to speak at a woman's step weekend, and it was on step six and seven many years ago, over 20 years ago. But you know, I didn't learn anything that time. And anyhow, so fortunately, before I had to do this, I learned a little bit more. I'll talk about that more later. And of course, the sixth step says we're entirely ready. And I like to put the we in front. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And I have a prayer for each step. And this one is, God, give me the willingness, thy will, not mine, be done. And, you know, I've been saying all through this, I look up the principles that are involved in each of the steps. And this is the first time that every source I went to on what principle is behind step six is willingness. And also with step seven, and the principle behind that is humility, but I'll get to that later on. And let's see, I gotta stop saying and. What does Bill have to say? Well, Bill has to say, from a letter he wrote in 1946 on page 167 of As Bill Sees It, we recovered, and he uses the word recovered, and I'm not going to get in that debate, alcoholics are not so much brothers in virtue as we are brothers in our defects and our common strivings to overcome them. So those are some pretty powerful words. We're together in this thing, trying to get over the defects of character that exemplified, at least for me, my drinking life. And, you know, I love looking up things in the dictionary, and Cindy just confirmed that. A defect is, by dictionary definition, a shortcoming, an imperfection, or a lack. And, of course, that brings me back to the old debate here. Is there a difference between a shortcoming and a defect? Because, well, according to this, a defect is a shortcoming. And I have heard people explain it to me, and it makes sense to me, that Bill, being the type of writer he was, didn't want to repeat the same word in two steps. So he used a synonym. You know, for me, they're the same thing. They're one and the same, but that's okay. Okay, now I have to tell you my little story with the sixth and seventh step, and I was looking it up when the meeting was opening here to make sure that I was right on that. And, you know, in the big book, each of those steps gets one paragraph, and that's about the amount of attention that I paid to the sixth and seventh step my first time going through these steps. I thought, well, it doesn't say much about them, so I mustn't have to do much about them, you know? Then I got to tell you this other part that tells you something about me, that when I first read the sixth step in the 12 and 12, and it says right near the beginning, like second sentence, I think, this is the step that separates the men from the boys. And my feminist side got a real attitude, you know? And I have gone so far at some meetings to read that. It still doesn't sit real right with me. I read it in my mind and sometimes out loud. This is the step that separates the adults from the children. And that, I'm okay when I interpret it that way. But fortunately for me, a few years back, I was at a, and it isn't too many years back, it's not, I mean, I was almost 30 years sober. When I was at a woman's weekend, 12-step weekend, where they had a speaker on the step, and then you broke into a small group and discussed that step, and that's what the whole weekend was, with a speaker on Saturday night. Well, this, I can't remember if it was a woman speaking on the sixth step or the seventh step, talked about the book, Drop the Rock. And I was at that particular conference, was down in the Pittsburgh area. They had Wi-Fi right in the conference room, and it wasn't up in your rooms or anything. But I immediately downloaded that book. I purchased it, and all of a sudden, things changed for me. I understood the importance of doing step 6 and step 7 constantly. It's not a one-shot deal. This is an everyday deal. And I didn't bring it. I'll probably bring it for a later step. When I take a daily inventory, it's on those defects. I got a whole long list of them and a corresponding asset that I may have practiced that day, and I like that. And then I came to understand through other people's sharing that steps 6 and 7 do for all the rest of my life what steps 1 through 3 did for my drinking. You know, steps 1 through 3 convinced me that I was powerless over alcohol, that my life would be much better without alcohol, when I came to believe that this power greater than myself could remove me, could relieve me and remove me. It's a lifetime job. You know, 6 and 7 are a lifetime job. They're not to be done once and say, okay, I did my 6 and 7th, I'm done with those. You know, it's like weed in the garden. It looks really nice the day you weed it and what have you, but you know, you get back 2 days later and there's little weeds, and you go on vacation for 2 weeks and there's big weeds, you know? And I've been doing a lot of weeding this summer, and I'll guarantee you little weeds are a lot easier to get rid of than those ones that have been there forever. So, and then the other thing that the 6th and 7th step are important to me is because the woman I was drank, and the woman I was will drink again. And the only thing that's going to make me different from the woman who was drinking is that 6th and 7th step, those character defects. And so back to As Bill Sees It on page 327. I mark these, but I'm not very fast. The hands don't work as well as they used to. Jeez, it's, you know, this old, whatever hell. Okay, 3 choices. It's from the Grapevine article in 1960. The immediate object of our quest is sobriety, freedom from alcohol, and from all its baleful consequences. Without this freedom, we have nothing at all. Paradoxically, though, we can achieve no liberation from the alcohol obsession until we become willing to deal with those character defects which have landed us in that helpless condition. In this freedom quest, we are always given three choices. A rebellious refusal to work upon our glaring defects can be an almost certain ticket to destruction. Or perhaps, for a time, we can stay sober with a minimum of self-improvement and settle ourselves into a comfortable but often dangerous mediocrity. Or finally, we can continuously try hard for those sterling qualities that can add up to fineness of spirit and action, true and lasting freedom under God. And I hate to say it, but for many years I was in that middle group. I managed to stay sober on what little work I was doing on these 6 and 7 steps. And of course, I've heard so many times that people want to hold on to their character defects. So I gave some meditation to that. Like, I needed to hold on to fear to justify my self-pity. I needed to hold on to blaming others to justify my self-pity. But of course, I had to keep the self-pity to justify my right to drink. Jealousy justified my gossip. Dishonesty justified my guilt over immoral actions. Resentments justified my anger. Selfishness justified my treating others poorly. Suspicion justified my keeping people away. And I could keep going on and on with this list of character defects and what I thought they were doing for me, particularly in my drinking days. And of course, today too, if I let them. These character defects allowed me to do things that I don't want to do anymore and to be a person that I don't want to be any longer. So, thank you for making me do this, because I've really had to look at myself in this. And let's see what Bill has to say on that, right near the beginning of the book, page 10. A clear light, this is from the letter he wrote in 1946. A clear light seems to fall upon all us all when we open our eyes. Since our blindness is caused by our own defects, we must first deeply realize what they are. Constructive meditation is the first requirement for each new step in our spiritual growth. So, I was stuck. I was stuck for a lot of years and didn't even realize it. I was not taking advantage of everything that I could be given by practicing this program to the best of my ability. And of course, after I've done a good step five, I brought the forms step four, excuse me. I've got a list of defects of character here. So I love this format for doing the fourth then the fifth step, because I not only have all the people that I'm going to need next week in step 7 or 8 and 9, I also have those defects of character which I need to meditate upon and figure out why I want to hold on to them, why I did them, and what I want to change, what I want God to change inside me today. So, on a willingness to change is addressed by Bill on page 97. And I didn't go into willingness a whole lot as the principle in this, because I went into willingness on one of my earlier steps and really talked about it. But let's see if that's the right page even. Page 97 is from AA Comes of Age. I think you have that book over here now, don't you? Yeah, you do. There it is. And this is from that book. At the beginning, we sacrificed alcohol. We had to, or it would have killed us. But we couldn't get rid of alcohol unless we made other sacrifices. We had to toss self-justification, self-pity, and anger right out the window. We had to quit the crazy contest for personal prestige and big bank balances. We had to take personal responsibility for our sorry state and quit blaming others for it. Yuck. Were these sacrifices? Yes, they were. To gain enough humility and self-respect to stay alive at all, we had to give up what had really been our dearest possessions, our ambition and our illegitimate pride. Yeah. So, it's a big order. It's a big order. And I pray for it daily for the willingness to have these defects of character removed. In fact, Kevin just asked me, I shared it already with one person in this room, a list of daily prayers, each focused on the steps, each of the steps. And I got that a little over a year ago, and me and my cat, we say them every day, and she listens well. So that brings us to the seventh step. I'm sorry. Oh, not the second. Oh, please don't make me go back. And that, of course, is humility. You want to have a real short meeting? Bring up the topic of humility. It is something that is still, even after all these years, is very difficult for me to get a handle on. I'm understanding it more and more, but I'm still growing in what is humility. The step, of course, says humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. The original writing of that humbly on our knees ask Him to remove our shortcomings. I've got a first draft type of thing with all the changes, and that's crossed right out. The majority didn't want to hear about on your knees. And, of course, back to the dictionary. Shortcoming is a fault or failure to meet a certain standard, typically in a person's character. Yeah. And I have been confused a lot on my role in the seventh step, because I'm asking that these defects of character or these shortcomings being removed. Well, you know, and okay, do I just say, okay, I don't like being a gossip, remove it from me? Is that? No. How much work is required for me, and how much do I rely on God to remove them? Well, if I go back to the first step, when I could ask for help to quit drinking, that help didn't come until I was willing to put that drink down. So I had to do a part in it. I could, you know, I have sponsored a woman who used to read the big book while she was drinking beer. Well, you know, it's just not going to work. So I thought about that for a while, and I could go through a lot of defects, but I got some. For example, if I wanted to be rid of self-pity, I need to stop blaming others for what is happening in my life. Or if I want to eliminate jealousy, I need to stop gossiping. I could continue on with the whole list of defects that I've recognized in my fifth step. I may still have the defect, but I can act as if it's removed just today. You know, when the opportunity arises that I can blame someone else for whatever just happened, like that dumb, shouldn't have parked that car there, I wouldn't have run in it in the parking lot if you hadn't parked it there, you know, that kind of, yeah. So just for today, I can act as if that character defect has been removed. And you know, I string enough days, one day at a time, together, and chances are I'm not going to practice it as often. Some of them are just, you know, I'm still a very not nice driver. I got to tell you this. I was leaving a woman's spiritual weekend, this was up in New York at, I can't think of the name of the town, by that lake. Anyhow, I'm getting on 90 to come home. and somebody cut me off. I could not believe the language I used. I mean, I used the big one, you know? It was like, ah! And then I started laughing. And I thought, oh my goodness, you just came from a spiritual weekend and, you know? But I am very, very grateful today that the big book tells us that we strive for progress, not perfection. Okay, and let's take a look at Bill again on page 325. Humility. Humility brings hope. Now that we no longer patronize bars and bordellos, I know what that is. Now that we bring home the paychecks, now that we are so very active in AA, and now that people congratulate us on these signs of progress, well, we naturally proceed to congratulate ourselves. Of course, we are not yet within hailing distance of humility. We ought to be willing to try humility in seeking the removal of our other shortcomings, just as we did when we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol and came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. If humility could enable us to find the grace by which the deadly alcohol obsession could be banished, then there must be hope of the same result respecting any other problem that we can possibly have. And I really like that. That was from, well, part of it's from the 12 and 12. First part was from the grapevine. But that's in the 12 and 12 on page 76, in case you wanted to look that up again. So, humility. Let's see. I have one more page from Bill before I go into the definition. That's on page 191 from a letter he wrote in 1966. There are few absolutes inherent in the 12 steps. Most steps are open to interpretation based on the experience and outlook of the individual. Consequently, the individual is free to start at the step at whatever point he can or will. God, as we understand him, may be defined as a power greater or the higher power. For thousands of members in the AA group, it has been a higher power in the beginning. This acknowledgement is easy to make if a newcomer knows that most of the members are sober and he isn't. His admission is the beginning of humility. At least the newcomer is willing to disclaim that he himself is God. That's all the start we need. He needs. If, following this achievement, he will relax and practice as many of the steps as he can, he is sure to grow spiritually. So our very, very first experience in AA in humility is when we admitted we were powerless. You know? And it took me a long time. I told you that a few weeks back. It took me a long time to admit that powerlessness. So back to the dictionary. And in the dictionary, humility is defined as modest or low view of one's importance. When I first read that, I didn't like that. So I meditated on it for a while. I had to think about it. I had to look at this root. It doesn't say a low view of myself, only a low view of my importance. Putting my, you know, remaining right-sized. Yes, I am a child of my higher power, but I'm not the most or the least of anything. I'm right there somewhere in the middle, you know? I think, oh, I'm the worst person that's... No, I'm not, you know? No, I don't do as well as some other things, but it's my importance that I have a lower view on. And Bill addresses that. On, how come I'm doing okay? Perfect humility. Page 106 from a grapevine article. For myself, I try to seek out the truest definition of humility that I can. This will not be the perfect definition, because I shall always be imperfect. At this writing, I would choose one like this. Absolute humility would consist of a state of complete freedom from myself, freedom from all the claims that my defects of character now lay so heavily upon me. Perfect humility would be a full willingness in all times and places to find and to do the will of God. When I meditate upon such a vision, I need not be dismayed, because I shall never attain it. Nor need I swell with the presumption that one of these days its virtue shall be mine. I only need to dwell on the vision itself, letting it grow and evermore fill my heart. This done, I can compare it with my last taken personal inventory. Then I get a sane and healthy idea of where I stand on the highway to humility. I see that my journey toward God has scarce begun, and thus I get down to my right size and stature. My self-concern and importance become amusing. Like I said, I didn't like that first definition of humility, so I looked it up in a spiritual dictionary. This was a tough one, though. It is a recognition of self in relation to a higher power, and self-debasement with subsequent submission to that higher power. Well, yeah. What is debasement. You know, debasement is under the first floor, but... So I looked that one up. Self-debasement is the act or process of lowering oneself in status, esteem, quality, or character. And when I read that old saying from AA that alcoholics are egomaniacs with inferiority complexes came right to mind. You know, and that's an oxymoron, but it makes sense to every one of us. You know, it makes sense to me anyhow. And just before I finish up tonight, I will go to As Bill Sees It again on page 271. Oh, it's a last marker. I found them all tonight. All AA progress can be reckoned in terms of just two words: humility and responsibility. Our whole spiritual development can be accurately measured by our degree of adherence to these two magnificent standards. Ever-deepening humility, accompanied by an ever greater willingness to accept and to act upon clear-cut obligations. These are truly our touchstones for all growth in the life of the Spirit. They hold us up to the very essence of right being and right doing. It is by them that we are enabled to find and to do God's will. And that's a talk that Bill gave in 1965. And, yeah, I don't know how I'm doing the humility part. I know I keep take my responsibilities seriously. But I take them seriously. But I thought I could call Kevin and I tell him I'm not feeling very well tonight. You know, that does still cross my mind. It still crosses my mind. But I showed up anyhow because it was a lie. Yeah, that's a lie. I'm tired, but that's just sort of a fact of life at my age. And I'd like to close with the seventh step prayer that is in the 12 and 12. If any of you know it by heart, please join me. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Thank you. Hey, I did better tonight.
What's the like?
See any answers?
Oh, there's Wendy.
Run for cover.
When you were referring to your character defects, and if one of them was, I wanted to hang on to jealousy so I could keep gossiping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, boy, you went down a whole list of them. I was wondering how you got that list and how the jealousy related to the gossiping, and did you just think of that all by yourself?
No. No, for the 10-step, I have the list of defects, the checklist for a daily inventory, and I went down there. And as I was going down there, that list, I thought to myself, well, why did I do that? Why would I want to hold on to that today? You know? And the one in particular for me was self-pity, because I drank out of self-pity all the time. If you had my life, you'd drink too, you know? I thought, now, why would I want to hold on to jealousy? It's not a pretty thing. Many, many years ago, and this is a long-time defect, obviously, the word lousy is right in jealousy. Yeah. But if I was jealous of someone, and I said not nice things about that person in gossip, then it brought me, in my mind, it brought me back to the level. Yeah, and that's how I did that. I went through that list of character or the checklist and thought, why did I want to keep that? So, Thanks, Wendy. I could answer the first question. I feel good when I can answer a question.
Anyone else?
I'm not going to look at Kevin because he always comes up. Yeah, there we go.
All right, here comes Kevin. Well, I'm trouble now.
Well, thanks, Alan, for not calling in sick. I don't know what I'd do if he did. So thanks for sharing. I thought it was exceptional tonight. When you're sponsoring someone and you're dealing with the sixth and the seventh step, like when you answered Wendy's question, do you show them this list to help them recognize their shortcomings and character defects? Do you get those? I know that they come from your fourth and your fifth step, but what is your process of how you take somebody through that so sometimes they're not as easily recognized by yourself as they are by somebody else?
That's an excellent question. And if I ever got to sponsor anyone past the fifth step, I'd be able to answer what I did. But I can tell you what I think I would do. Because that book, Drop the Rock, opened my eyes so wide. I think that's where we'd start with. And then go back to the character defects and pull out that list for the 10 step. Whatever it takes to... whatever it takes to get the job done. But I have never had anyone I've sponsored who's stuck with me after the fifth step. Yeah. I stayed sober. That's all I can say, you know.
That's great. So you mentioned this book, and some people may be not familiar with Drop the Rock, so maybe you could, maybe give us a couple minute explanation of...
Okay, I've got it. I just happen to have it in my iPad.
Oh, good. Great.
Let me get out of that one. If I remember how to touch it there. Down there. Come on. Drop the rock. There it is. Oops. Let's go back. Oh. I got all kinds of... Where did it just go? It's the first one. It is written by... obviously, three members of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill P., Todd W., and Sarah S. And it's all on step 6 and 7. Removing character defects. Oh, I got to go way back to the beginning to find out who the publisher. But anyhow, it gives individual stories, and it starts with the drop the rock little story about the ship going out, and it was the ship of AA, and someone's swimming like mad trying to get there, and they're not making it, and some of they're yelling from the boat, drop the rock, drop the rock, being our character defects, and so that they could get there. Well, the one person did drop the rock, found herself on that ship of sobriety and yelling to the next person coming towards the ship, drop the rock, drop the rock. So that's where it comes from. And who is the publisher? Oh my. I don't know, if you just look it up and oh, they have it for sale down at the club. Oh, it's Hazleton. It's a Hazleton book. Yeah. So, yeah, and I have, I've read it many times because it really, it starts out easy reading, and then the further I got into it, the deeper it got, and I had to slow down and reread paragraphs and what have you. But it was for me that finally broke down that barrier that I had built up for myself and not doing much work on the 6 and 7. After all, it's only 2 paragraphs, you know. So.
I got one in the back.
Mm-hmm, you're getting your steps on tonight. Oh, I'm up to 11,000.
Hi, Matthew, alcoholic.
Hi, Matthew.
I'm a newcomer to the program. I have 2 months in. And I keep on thinking, should I be coming to these type of meetings, because I'm not even to those steps yet. But I get so much out of them. Do you have any recommendations on how not to get ahead of myself?
Well, yeah, your sponsor is the one thing that to keep you. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting an overview of what's in front of you. You know, it's like going to a class and you're studying chapter 1. Well, there's nothing that says you can't read chapter 2, 3, 4, 5 just to see where it's going. And I'm going to relate this back to my teaching experience. I was a math teacher. And I had a kid in class whose insight was so neat for mathematics that he, during a lesson, he would ask the question that was the next day's lesson. You know, he saw what was coming. He knew, yeah. So that, you know, listen to it all, but focus what you're doing today on the step you're on. If it's step 1, you know, step 2. And there's certainly a lot of personal experience in these CDs that are up here, and I see nothing wrong with looking ahead. You know, it's not like a mystery that you're going to ruin the whole thing for yourself if you go to the last page of the book. So keep coming back. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. You want my fifth book? I could use the steps.
Yes, you know.
I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
The question that has been on my mind is, since I've been in here over the last 10 years, you get some people that are advocates of, you just use this book, the blue book, the big book, and you have a variety of books that have helped. So I just wonder what your take is.
That
it's not against the rules.
Yeah. Yes. I know that some meetings sell only conference approved literature. Okay? Which is absolutely fine and dandy. My first home group was in in Crossing Bill. It was the area artist group, for any of you. Yeah, there's an old timer or six out there. They got a lot of their literature from Cleveland, like the Four Absolutes, and so they didn't adhere to the conference-approved literature only. So I started out with quite a variety, and I'll tell this story because I just love it, and I talked to him about it today. Jack Lipinski, I was a newcomer. He was always at my home group, and I picked up this book. It was Sobriety and Beyond, and I had purchased it. I wanted to read it, and I'm walking back to my seat or something. Jack looks at me. He said, "You're not ready for that book." And I thought, "I'll show you." So when I finally got healthy enough, I went up to Jack and I said, "Do you remember doing that?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well," he said, "what did you do?" I said, "I went home and read the book." He said, "See?" That was his plan. So, you know, he knew that if I... He obviously figured me out. But, you know, Bill Wilson says, you know, we only know a little, more will. And, yeah, I realize, you know, that people are making money off of AA and da-da-da-da. But, you know what, if it's helping the individuals, so be it. So I don't have a problem with using other literature. Although for this, I will stay with, you know, AA, conference-approved literature, except for Drop the Rock. But I didn't quote it. Yeah, you know? But I did talk about reading it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Helen. And the reason that this mic does not work is I forgot to put the antennas on. You can blame.
Oh, that's what it is.
Thank you.
Oh, jeez. Am I done?
Good job.
Oh.